please. The dance is about to begin.
Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine. Whose world is this?
It's yours.
It's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine.
Hey, yo, y'all, what's going on? This is Aaron bringing you episode 90 of the Semi-Social Life of a Black Introvert podcast. Hope y'all are having a beautiful week wherever you are around the world. I missed y'all. I haven't been on here in a couple weeks because I've been getting some things done in my personal and professional life. But just know I missed y'all. And I look forward to sharing this episode with you and giving you some updates, including, y'all, it's the last week. It's my last week at my current job. This job I talk about so often. I often refer to my students, or as I call them, my babies, my kids. I'm leaving this job that I've held for the past 8 years as an educator in a local library. I operate a very successful after-school academic center that serves the needs, the academic needs, the social needs of kids from over 25 different nations around the world, predominantly East or West African. I've held this job for 8 years. I've developed relationships. I've been embraced by the community. I consider these kids, I consider them my babies, my students, and I consider them my family. For 8 years, I've given everything that I could to this job. And yet in 2 days, I am leaving. 2 days, I am taking a step of faith to a new job opportunity at The Ohio State University, in which I'll be working and developing programs and initiatives for the African-American male student population. Y'all, I'm excited about this new opportunity, but I'm also, it's a bit bittersweet leaving the very thing that I've done, that's been my heartbeat for the past 8 years. And yet I know it's the right time. I know it's the right time. It's a weird feeling. It's almost like baking a cake. You know, I don't know if you bake out there, but I do. And so when you put the cake batter in the oven, you can go according to the box, and the box may say, bake your cake for 35 to 39 minutes at 425 degrees. That is going to be a well-done cake. Your cake is going to be almost like a bread. It's going to be pretty tough if you bake according to the box. But if you have an eye to look at the cake and tell it's done, it may not be 35 to 39 minutes. It may not be for 425 degrees. It may be 400 for 33 minutes. But if you have an eye to tell when it's done, if you know the look just by looking at the cake as it's baking, if you know the look of when it's done, it's done. It's going to come out perfect. It's going to be fluffy. It's going to be the type of cake that you want to eat. Now you may ask, Aaron, why are you talking about cake right now? Let me tell you why. Because I saw that it was time to leave this job. I saw it. I could tell this, that whatever was baking in my life, that now is the time to get out. The window of opportunity is here. Now, if I get out right now, this is the perfect transition out. I had to have some faith. Y'all, 4 years ago, my library was building a new branch. And we were given the news that we will soon have in 4 years, we will have a new branch that will be double the size, newer, nicer, a better space to serve the community. And as they were telling me about this new branch, something in me said, I'm not going to be there. I appreciate the opportunity, but I don't want to be in the new branch. I just, something in me knew that it was time. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was faith. I just thought it was, you know, me being stubborn and being introverted and just not wanting to go to a new building. But But something in me just pushed me to say, I'm not going to be there. I would tell my colleagues, I'm not going to be in the new branch. Y'all, I had nothing to base that on. Nothing. I didn't have job opportunities coming my way. In fact, I received so many rejection emails, letters, phone calls. I couldn't find a job, and I was getting so frustrated questioning my skills, questioning whether or not a window of opportunity would open up for me. I couldn't see the next opportunity. And yet I held on to what I felt on the inside of me. I won't be at the new branch. Last year, when the pandemic hit, and my students and I and my team, when we all separated, I remember I said on this podcast that I felt it was time to go. That at that moment, when the pandemic hit and when we all had to leave and go our separate ways, I felt at that moment, that was almost a preview of what was to come. It hurt being separated from my team and from my students, from my babies, from my kids, from my family. It hurt. But at that moment last spring, that moment prepared me to be able to release this job opportunity and look elsewhere. Truth be told, when I was called back to work in August, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back to my job position because so much had changed in the pandemic. Social distancing, my students weren't able to enter into the building. All the work that we did face to face and building those connections, it was all done online with different kids. It just didn't have the feel. I didn't want to come back, but I still had to keep the vision of moving forward and telling myself, you're not going to be in the new branch. The new branch was scheduled, it actually is scheduled to be opened up in 2 months, in September of 2021. And last year, I just knew, I was like, I'm not going to be there. Y'all, I put in the work. I still applied to jobs. I still saw other opportunities, and I was still rejected for most of these opportunities. I had one job that seemed interesting, and it seemed like a good fit. And everybody was sort of giving me their vocal green light, saying this would be a good opportunity for you to go to this organization. And I just wasn't feeling it. Everybody's like, this is a great organization to go to. I just didn't want to go because I knew within myself that this is not the vision that I saw. This is not the window of opportunity, does not lie with this position, with this organization. I wanted more. I wanted exactly what I saw. Yeah, I don't know if it's just me. But have you ever been in a position in which you had to see something for yourself? Even when people were telling you, no, you should go over here, but you're like, this is not what I see. This is what you see. And you have to stand upon your own vision. That's what I had to do earlier this year. Stand upon my own vision and say, no, I don't know what's on the other side, but I know that this is not it. I don't know what the exact place with exact destination looks like, but I will know it when I get there. I saw this job opportunity at The Ohio State University, and quite frankly, it seemed almost too good to be true. I mean, a job in which I could work with African American males on a college campus, I mean, this seemed like a great fit. I applied to it. I was nervous. I didn't think that I would get a call back. And yet I did. And for those who have been listening to this podcast, y'all have sort of been riding with me through this journey of hope, of fear of not getting the job, of criticism after I did the interview and I didn't feel like I was perfect enough, and of doubt. Doubt that I would be rejected once again. I remember early June for my final interview. I remember right before the final interview, a couple days before the final interview, I realized that I only had 3 months to find a job because the new branch would be opening up in September. I had about 3 months to go. That's a tight window. That's a tight window of opportunity. I had to nail this job opportunity because it was the only one that revealed itself. I remember sitting in that final interview and coming to grips with the fact that I want this job. Like there's no questioning whether or not I want it. You know, some jobs you'd be like, I sort of want it. It could work. It could fit. You know, I could, the salary's okay and I can make it work. No, this job was a job that I wanted. And I was afraid to ask and to pray for a job that I wanted because it seemed so selfish. And yet I didn't know if I would get it. People said, you know, Aaron, the job is yours. And I didn't want to put 100% belief into that because what if it didn't happen? I remember people telling me, Aaron, you're going to be in the new branch. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be here. You said you're not going to be here, and yet you're still here. You're not going anywhere. On June 30th, on my birthday, I put in my 2-week notice, my letter of resignation from my job. With 2 months to spare, I fit through the window. I slid through the window of opportunity. And I embarked upon a new position, a new step. I am blessed. I am happy. I'm excited. I am like really excited. I told my students that I would be leaving. And they looked at me and they said that they were proud, that they were excited for me, that they understood that it was time for me to move on. They released me. What a beautiful thing when people that you invest in, when they have enough vision for your life and for who you are, that they don't want to see you tied down to one spot. They gave me an emotional release in saying, Mr. Aaron, it's okay to go. You tell us to go and grow. Now it's time for you to do the same. You tell us to graduate, and now it's time for you to walk across your very own stage. This week, I am walking across my life's graduation stage from one position to another. And I'm proud, I'm happy, I'm excited to do something new. Y'all, I want to encourage you. I didn't give you that story just to, you know, do a humble brag and tell you about my life. Nah, that's not what I did that for. But I'm doing this. I'm telling you this story because you are a visionary. And sometimes as a visionary, we need other visionaries to encourage us to see further. Encourage us that doors will open up, that windows of opportunity will open up, that life is not so closed off. Sometimes we need other people to share their stories of faith to help us confront our fears. Y'all, I had so much fear in this process, and yet your faith in me, my community's faith in me, my students' faith in me, my family's faith in me, and ultimately my faith in the God in me created this opportunity. It came out of nowhere. I saw the door open. I saw the window of opportunity open, and my faith led me through. Y'all, walk in faith. Walk in belief of who you are. Your windows of opportunity are not closed. Your doors leading to the next stage of your life are open. You will graduate. You will move on. The vision that you have for your life, even though others may not see it, you see it. And because you see it, it is your faith walk. And this is the perfect time for you to believe in you. It is both a perfect time and a purpose time, a time of purpose. Everything is happening on purpose. Do you believe that? If you do, walk in faith. Though one door may close, though one window of opportunity may close, it may be slammed right in your face, there's always something on the other side. I can attest to that. I've been rejected from so many jobs. I mean, gosh, and it hurts. I'm not going to take away. Rejection hurts. It truly does hurt, but sometimes, just sometimes, if we see it correctly, rejection is really just a door closing that allows us to continue to head in the right direction. Our pain can lead to purpose. Believe in yourself. Believe in who you are, that you have something so special about you, that your opportunity is right around the corner. You just have to keep on walking in faith. Y'all, I am excited about this episode because it's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. As a black, I don't want to call myself a gardener, but I have sort of a black green thumb. If you don't know what a green thumb is, I'm not saying that my thumbs are green. Now, what I'm saying is that if you have a green thumb, you like to plant stuff. You like to be out with your hands in the dirt, putting in plants. You have your garden, you have your flowers, you have your trees, your shrubs. You enjoy doing a little bit of yard work. And I do. Since I've been a homeowner the last, 3 years now? Almost 3 years. I've really enjoyed growing things around my house. When I first bought my house, y'all, that the landscaping was so crazy. That I remember we had so many old bushes and plants around the house. And I tried to dig them up. Y'all, no joke. I tried to dig them up and I bought a new shovel, pointy tip. I tried to put the shovel in the dirt. And the dirt was so hard that my new shovel that I bought from Lowe's, it couldn't get into the dirt. The ground was so hard because it hadn't been broken up in years. There were so many deep roots within the dirt, within the soil, that there wasn't any nutrients for anything to grow. Everything was being choked out by weeds and by roots. The first couple months that I had in my house, it was really just spent digging up everything that was in the ground. Everything that was dead or wasn't growing, all the deep roots that was choking the life out of the soil and out of, I guess, flowers that could grow in the dirt. And so I had to force myself to get outside every night, pull up weeds, pull up roots, uproot bushes, and really just clear the ground, allow the ground to breathe. That following spring, the ground loosened up. Just enough for me to put some new flower bulbs in around my house. I went out to Lowe's and bought some cheap plants just to sort of try my hand at growing plants, growing flowers, growing bushes, hostas, in and around my house. And I was amazed to watch things grow. I was amazed to see flowers pop up going from spring and the summer. I had summer flowers that year and it just made my house, made the outside look so beautiful. I was excited to see my hostas grow and my bushes that I put into the ground. I was excited to see it all grow. And so what did I do? I bought more. And I bought more. And I moved some plants into some different areas. And I put some new flowers in over here. And I created a new flower bed. And so now, as I am nearing year 3 in my house, now I have flowers all around my house. I was looking at my flowers, my gladiolas, to be more specific. I was watching them just grow out of the ground, and I was admiring how tall they've gotten. Maybe about a month ago, they were mere shoots coming out of the ground, but now they're about 2 to 3 feet high, and they're blooming, and they're just so, so beautiful. But you know, the one thing about flowers is that though they're beautiful, they only last for a season. And so as they're blooming, I wanted to know, who could I give these flowers to? I don't want them just to sit outside and look pretty and just die. Now, who could I give these flowers to? And as I looked around my house and looked at the flowers and all the flower beds, it hit me. I need to give some flowers to myself. I needed to give me flowers. I titled this podcast episode, Give Yourself Flowers. Because as leaders, as people, sometimes we are so quick to celebrate others. We are so quick to give flowers to those around us. I'm not just talking about a bouquet of flowers, but I'm talking about compliments and credit. We tell other people just how proud we are of them, how much we love them. We give so much affirmation to others that when it comes to giving flowers of affirmation to self, we sometimes cut ourselves off. We're not used to giving ourselves flowers. But I want to encourage you today to be okay with giving yourself flowers. I was talking to one of my students this week, and she recently started an online program designed to help teens. She is 15 years old. To provide self-care tips to people her age. It's an ambitious project because, you know, at that age, whenever you reveal some of your hurts in order to provide others healing, it's a huge risk to be so vulnerable. But she wanted to do it. And she wants to do it. She wants to reveal who she is to provide comfort and healing to other people her age that may be experiencing some of the same things going on in their lives. She wants to connect people. Matter of fact, check it out on Instagram. It's called Small Hit, Big Impact. And so as she was telling me about Small Hit, Big Impact, she was telling me about all the things that she had yet to accomplish. She didn't do this, and she needed to get this done, and she had to do this, but this was behind, and yet she started perhaps a week before. Yeah, you heard that right. She started a week before. I made the choice to share with her my heart, my love, my experience, my wisdom, and to give her some of my flowers, some flowers that I've grown over the years, not my flowers that came out of my garden, but some flowers of wisdom and information that I could share with her to encourage her to affirm who she is. I told her that I was proud of her, that she decided to step out on faith and tackle and confront her fears to help others. I told her that her safe space and Small Hit, Big Impact would change people's lives. That people would see the intelligent young woman that she is and be drawn to her and be drawn to her heart, not because she's doing something for views. She's not doing this for views. She's doing it so that people can view who they are. So that people can look in their own reflection and feel proud. I told her that her life, her vision is expanding, and that this will be a step in the right direction that will help fuel her life. That she will look back at this stage in which she is right now at 15, and that she will be proud of this step. This small step that she may view right now is such a large step in her faith. I gave her some of the flowers of affirmation that I needed to hear myself, some of the flowers that I have given myself, and I gave them to her, and I told her, I'm giving you credit, I am giving you flowers, and I'm giving you these flowers to teach you how to give yourself credit and essentially how to give yourself flowers. You deserve to give yourself flowers. Oftentimes in life, we can't always rely on other people to give us the flowers that we deserve. Sometimes we meet people that can give us flowers. That's a beautiful thing, to have a community of people that can support us with words of affirmation and words of encouragement. But sometimes it's just you. And sometimes it's you are stuck in your own garden. And instead of waiting on the world to stop and cut flowers for you, you have enough power, enough intelligence, enough hope, enough faith, enough love for yourself to stop, smell the roses, and to cut some of the roses of life just to give to no one else but yourself. You have to give yourself credit. You have to give yourself flowers. You know, I struggled with this whole concept of giving flowers when I was her age at 15. Heck, I struggled with it at 25 and at 35. Which is why now at 37, I can give her some of the flowers that I have. Because I think a lot of us grow up wanting to be humble, being taught to be humble. And to be humble is to deflect compliments. Being humble is not to be braggadocious or arrogant. Be humble is almost knock yourselves down while being able to lift others up. But our humility can be crushing. Our humility can actually be depressing. Sometimes we could be so humble and lift others up that we don't teach ourselves how to get up on our own. We put so much faith in others that we lack faith in ourselves. Sometimes it's okay to be selfish. I know we don't like to use that term, but it's okay to be selfish. Just because you are selfish does not mean you're bad. Sometimes you have to keep for yourself. You can't hand everything out. You can keep some things in reserve because you need them. Yes, there are things that you need. There are things that you want. There are resources that you require. There are standards that you need met. You have some needs, some wants, some requirements, and some standards. You have your person too. You can't just hand everything out. I see this. I've done this myself, in which as someone who gives, as someone who is involved in community, involved in just the lives of others, I have a tendency to overgive and to overstretch. And then at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, at the middle of the day, I don't have enough for me. I can tell you it sucks being a resourceful person, and yet you are the one that is running on empty. You've given so much to everybody else that you are the one that's burnt out. You're running on fumes. I hated that time of my life which I was running on fumes, which I was burnt out because I've released everything. I don't want her to go through that. I don't want you all to go through that. I don't want to go through that. So I decided to give her some flowers. Give yourself some credit. I told her, look at what you started. Look at where you're going. Look at where you've been. It's okay to give yourself credit. It's okay to cut your own flowers. It's okay to give yourself flowers. It's okay to love yourself. It's okay to affirm yourself. It's okay to invest in yourself. It's okay because you are worth it. She's worth it. I'm worth it. You're worth it. You are worth a positive investment. You are worth words of affirmation. You are worth honoring. You are worth celebrating, even if you have to do it yourself. Sometimes you have to throw your own party. You have to bake your own cake. You have to put up your own decorations. You have to create your own playlist for your party because you are celebrating you. What a beautiful thing when you can celebrate you. It's a beautiful thing when you can give yourself credit. You've done it. You've accomplished the goal. You've done it. You've completed the task. You've done it. You've moved on from one step to the other. You've done it. Yeah, you may not be at the top of the steps because, quite frankly, you still have a lot of living to do, but you're moving. You're progressing. You're growing. You're learning. You're breathing. You're reaching. You're investing. You're loving. You're worth it. Give yourself some flowers. Affirm yourself. Invest in who you are. Because I can tell you, if you don't, whatever flowers you do grow in your life, the world, this world, would take those flowers that you spent so much time growing, that you've watered, that you've planted in the soil of your life. The world wants to see those flowers blooming. If you don't give yourself flowers, the world will cut them, destroy them. This world will, or can sometimes teach you to despise your own growth. The world can sometimes teach you to see the things that are growing in your life as being insignificant, small. Anybody can do that. Anybody can grow that. Anybody can create that. You're nothing special. I know I felt that before. The world will crush your spirit. And by crushing your spirit, will crush everything around you that is growing just to prove to you. Just to show you a false reflection of self in which you are insignificant, in which your life has no impact, in which your life doesn't matter, in which whatever grows around you won't change the circumstances, won't change the environment, won't change the people around you because you're not that powerful. But if you learn how to give yourself flowers, you empower yourself. And by empowering yourself, you have enough power to empower those around you. Give yourself credit. Look at the beautiful flowers that are growing currently in your life and admire them. And save some for you. Cut them. Put them in a vase, write them down, and be proud of what you've grown. Not everybody can do what you do. You are gifted, you are talented, you are passionate, you are intelligent. You are someone who is a creator, who is a visionary. And the world needs the very things that you are growing. Don't despise what is growing in your life. Admire it. Cultivate it. share it, give some to others, but also make sure that you give some to you. Your gifts are worth giving, and your affirmations are worth keeping. Give yourself the flowers and the credit that you deserve. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And as always, be well.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.